Shalom liYehudim, shalom lebnei Noach, shalom legoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Dalas ba'Elul, Parashas Shoftim, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 18 August 2015, webcasting from diffident Israel. In Israel, reluctant to claim this land and enforce its claim more than it does. Take, for example, the way it treats the enemy Arabs in Judea and Samaria, murderously insisting that this is their ancient homeland. Yesterday we had another attempted murder of an Israeli soldier by a knife-wielding, homicidal Hamitic Arab in the same place as Saturday's stabbing near the Tapuach Junction in Samaria. The border policeman said the man approached him and said he wasn't feeling well. He was ordered to stop. He did not stop, but whipped out a knife and struck one of them as another opened fire. In the language of Israel, neutralized him. This is the language used by the IDF, used by the police when they kill an enemy Arab. They do not report that they killed a would-be Muslim assassin. They neutralized him. Consider another major news story this week. The condition of an Arab on a hunger strike. This is Muhammad Alan. To force feed him or not force feed him has been a topic of discussion. Some enlightened doctors here insist that even if ordered, they would never do that. The Knesset just passed a law, like 3 weeks ago, end of July, which gives authorities the right to force-feed hunger-striking prisoners. But there is still resistance, human rights, and all that stuff about cruel and unusual punishment, which is simply not true, as I understand it. It's just another tube into the body bearing liquid. Emulsified food, nutrients. Versus an interesting radio interview on Sunday done by Aaron Klein with a former commander of the U.S. Detention facility at Guantanamo, who was unequivocal. He said Israel must force feed him, or, quote, you're going to have a constant breakdown within any of your institutional settings here. He said, quote, in Guantanamo, we continuously had people attempting to kill themselves. Now, would you allow a man to cut his wrists and just lay there and bleed out? He was adamant. He said it's a matter of discipline and management. Yeah, in general, Israel remains too lenient toward our mortal enemies. Starting with the absence of the death penalty for terrorists, which would also be a part of asserting rock-solid belief in Israel's sovereign ownership of this real estate, all of it. Israel should instate capital punishment for terrorists. I think they should be hung. Israel should announce to the world that the worst thing a Gentile in Israel can do is physically aggress against a Jew. The Zionists spoke of the Jew being reborn here, who, unlike the diaspora Jew, would not be physically attacked with impunity. I think it was on Motzi Shabbos on Saturday that the dissembling Arab in that situation approached a soldier with basically the same technique as on Monday, appealing to the sympathy of the Israeli soldier. One said, quote, I'm not feeling well. The one on Saturday night said, I think I'm thirsty. And I think that one, when the soldier turned for some water, the Arabian stabbed him in the back or the shoulder or the head, I think. And I say that if it is right, in the heat of the moment, to neutralize an Arab attacker, it would be right the next moment and the one after. Legal execution means some period of detention before the execution. And if it's right to kill an attacker in the heat of the moment, why not several weeks after the event? If he deserved to die in the attack, and then arresting him sometimes and putting him on trial, and afterwards executing him, has the same moral weight. I remember almost the exact moment I myself stopped being opposed to the death penalty, like a good little liberal. It was after hearing a woman friend of mine, a divorced mother with two little boys, who during their afternoon nap, she lived on the ground floor in an apartment building in a major city. It was the summer. The windows were open. She opened her eyes and saw a man standing next to her bed. She understood what he wanted and offered no resistance. She was afraid any resistance, any screaming on her part might wake her children and who knows what this guy would do in that event. And as I listened to her tell me this terrible story, a Walter Mitty-esque fantasy flashed across my brain of myself somehow walking into that apartment just as it happened, discovering the attack, and that would prompt me to pick up the heaviest object like a metal lamp I could find and brain him and kill him. And there would not be one jury in the civilized world that would convict me of a crime. And if it's legitimate for a person to kill an attacker like this, why not the society as a whole after a murderer has been arrested, tried, and convicted? That way the whole society joins in its indignation at the offense and takes responsibility for it. The absence of a death penalty in Israel for homicidal Gentiles is an abomination. Problem is, the Jews, especially the secular post-Jewish Zionist elite here, they're still trying to make friends with the Arabs, be nice to them. We treat them in our hospitals. We want them to love us. Okay, but first I think they must fear us. The Oslo abomination was the epitome of this approach, and it was captured in a photograph. One iconic photograph of Shimon Peres kissing Yasser Arafat on the cheek. This was in the 1998, a half decade after the delirious handshake on the White House lawn, and Arafat had still yet to make good on a basic promise of Oslo, which was emending the Palestine Covenant and deleting language calling for the destruction of Israel. For almost two decades before then, the U.S. and Israel had boycotted Arafat and Fatah as terrorists, and one of the major demands was for the Fatah to recognize Israel's right to exist and agree to delete that language from its covenant. And here was Peres. After 5 years of his Nobel Peace Prize-winning Oslo plan, kissing Arafat on the cheek when he had not only not deleted that language, hundreds of Jews in these 5 years had already, before the so-called Intifada, been murdered. With Arafat making no effort, as promised at Oslo, to rein in his brethren in this regard. 5 years since the handshake, and Uncle Shimon was still trying to get Arafat to act like a mensch instead of the poisonous reptile on 2 feet that he was. Israel also preened like a peacock, displaying its compassionate side and letting all those terrorists go just for the release of one Gilad Shalit. Since his release, a half dozen, I think, Jews have been murdered by men linked to some of the savages let go. Thank you, Noam Shalit. Think of well of 1985, when Yitzhak Rabin claimed that he could no longer stand up to the tears of the mothers of 3 IDF soldiers captured by Ahmed Jibril's terror gang. In the end, Rabin freed over 1,000 of these people to get back the 3. Hundreds of whom later would be involved in the Intifada. This inclination to mercy is a sin for its wrongheadedness and its narcissism. There's an aspect of preening about ourselves as such compassionate people. Yesterday, indictments were filed in a military court in Yosh against 7 Arabs who were believed to be behind the murder on June 29th of Malachi Rosenfeld, Hashem Yikom Damo, near Shvut Rachel. You maybe remember coming home at night after playing in a basketball game. There was a drive-by shooting, I think, or fired at from the road. And what do you know, the head of that gang, one Ahmed Najjar, spent 7 years in an Israeli prison for the murder of 6 Israelis in 2004, but then was released for Shalit, and here he was back in operation. I'm sorry, but this is immoral behavior on Israel's part. It's simply bad ethical arithmetic. Mr. Najjar, imprisoned for the death of 6 Israelis, should have been executed for those 6 assassinations. Just for being free as Jews in the Jewish people's ancient homeland, they lost their lives to this beast. Instead, he was fed for 7 years to its heart content. He was housed, sustained at taxpayer expense, then let go to murder again. Hello? We have to stop being so nice. Speaking before of being nice, too nice, there's also something un-Jewish, but at the same time too Jewish, in this need to be loved by the peoples of the world, the Goyim. Take, for example, the kind of Jews today who cannot face the truth that Barack Hussein Obama is an anti-Semite. He is an irrational hater of Jews. In another unrelated story this week about Matisyahu, the musician booted from a festival because he supports, quote, a policy of violence toward the Palestinians, close quote. Those were the words of the BDS villains who sought his expulsion. A policy of violence. In this person's head, it appears that Israel has a policy of being violent against the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, I guess for the sake of violence, the sadistic pleasure of it. Violence for violence's sake. This person is simply delusional to think like this. And here we have heard over the last few days as well the President of the United States insinuating sinister Jewish maneuvering against his Iran plan by the same groups and of lobbyists spending millions who wanted the war with Iraq. Again, he's telling a lie about Jews. Only Abe Foxman of the ADL and today's anonymous official Jerusalem Post editorialist insisted that BHO is not an anti-Semite. And I imagine one source of this behavior is a desire not to be unpleasant, and another source may just be cowardice, the inability to face the truth that Obama is a soulmate of Louis Farrakhan, a man the world would never have heard of except for his lunatic expressions of Jew hatred. Louis Farrakhan has nothing to say about anything and gains attention by his Jew bashing only. Likewise, journalists Peter Baynard, Little Tommy Friedman, Jeffrey Goldberg, all of them, their stock and trade is Israel bashing, otherwise no one would know of them. But the cat is out of the bag on this now that Dr. Ben Carson, in a recent J-Post column, which I missed, just read about belatedly, said that Obama's support for his Iran deal was, quote, replete with coded innuendos employing standard anti-Semitic themes, close quote. Bless you, Dr. Carson. He even went further, raising his stature in my eyes. He said, quote, anything is anti-Semitic that is against the survival of a state that is surrounded by enemies and by people who want to destroy them. To ignore that and to act like everything is normal there, meaning Iran, I suppose, and these people, the Jews, are paranoid for criticizing his plan, that, he says, I think is anti-Semitic. Yeah, one could argue, as I do, that the entirety of this whole issue of Iran and the A-bomb, like the Palestinians, is riddled with anti-Semitism. The Iranians are completely upfront about doing to us what Hitler wanted to do, and yet the U.S., the U.K., France, Germany, not to mention Russia and China, are all okay with that. That's the Iran plan. Instead of taking a stand and telling Iran to drop that crusade, they go along with Iran's desire for an atomic bomb and Iran's desire for wanting to drop it on Israel. Not to mention handing over $150 billion, which will be spent on the bomb project and on money sent to Hamas and Hezbollah for low-grade retail Jew killing by their terrorists here. The Iran plan devised by Obama and Kerry is as plain on as the nose on your face, an aggression against the state of Israel. And to borrow from the impressive Ben Carson, ignoring such behavior is itself anti-Semitic. Barack Hussein Obama, I deduce from his behavior, is a pathological hater of Jews. He loves Islam, and Islam is a form of anti-Semitism. He slapped the Jews in the face in his first address to the nation and the world as president. His first phone call as president was to a Jew killer. He sat for 20 years in the pews of that lunatic preacher of hate, Jeremiah Wright, a man who said not God bless America, but God damn America. Wright was reportedly a former member of the Black Muslims of Elijah Muhammad and his successor, Louis Farrakhan. But because Wright understood at a certain point that Farrakhan was the man and he himself would rise no further, he left the cult and reinvented himself as a Christian preacher. Lord knows what the seminary he attended, if at all. And he converted Barack Hussein Obama to Christianity, as that hater of the West and Jews, Jeremiah Wright, preaches Christianity as he understands it. In his version, apparently, Islam is no enemy, no heresy, as the Catholics define it. He even invited to his church Louis Farrakhan to honor him and present him with an award. And then there is that shocking, obsequious video of Obama bowing down to the barbarian king in Saudi Arabia, one of whose titles is Guardian of the Two Mosques, the main ones in Mecca and Medina. For me, Obama's body language in that bowing speaks volumes. Farrakhan, Wright, Barack Obama, anti-Semites one and all. That man is a dissembler. Every year he holds a Passover Seder, presumably to honor Judaism. But I'll bet the good money that the Haggadah he uses is from the Reform Movement, now going out of business, a version which deletes the traditional concluding prayer, next year in Jerusalem. Can you just see Obama saying next year in Jerusalem for the Jewish people when he wants to give it away to the ancient ones? So we have a situation on our hands. The President of the United States is a pathological Jew-hater who removed the sanctions, crippling our mortal enemy, the Iranians, is now on the verge of sending them $150 billion. And the agreement that they can make an atomic bomb if they just wait a few years. And to add to this dismal situation, the Jews in America, overwhelmingly, have become so de-Judaized, we in Israel can no longer depend on them. In their majority, they are for Obama and his Iran plan. According to Stephen Cohen, the Reform Movement's in-house demographer. And by doing this, by supporting Obama and his Iran plan, American Jewry has abandoned us and joined the enemy. Thank you. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, it's always been my view from the beginning of the invention of the Palestinian that it was all a smokescreen for age-old anti-Semitism, the irrational fear, loathing, and hatred of Jews wrapped in hallucinations about our alleged beliefs and alleged behaviors. As I noted before, the BDS cultists in Spain see an Israel that conducts a policy of violence against the Palestinians, as if presumably every morning soldiers and police muster for their shift and are told, the order of the day, men, is to go out and be violent against the Arabians. This Spanish BDS cell said Matisyahu should be expelled from the festival because he was, quote, unwilling to speak out clearly against the Gaza war in 2014 and the right of the Palestinians to have their own state, close quote. What does it mean to be against the Gaza war? The Arabs shot hundreds of projectiles, each one intended to murder a Jew at random, at us. Israel defended itself by shooting back superior projectiles, and did so until the enemy stopped firing. It took 50 days, but what is there to be against when you say you're against the war? Well, of course, in the mind of the anti-Semite, there was no provocation. Israel just started shooting and did not stop until it had killed 2,000 people and wrecked acres of buildings. In my research into the UN and its voting patterns, I came across numerous UN resolutions very similar to this. That is, they were condemnations of Israeli reprisals against terror attacks with no mention of the terrorist attack, only Israel's response, which got condemned. For example, in December 1968, famously, at Athens Airport, PFLP terrorists shouting, "Kill the Jews," stormed an El Al plane waiting at the gate, murdered one passenger, wounded two stewards, did some damage before they were neutralized. 2 days later, or captured, in 2 days after that, in reprisal, after this and other attacks on El Al planes and terminals, launched from Lebanon, plotted there. The IDF helicoptered late at night into Beirut Airport, and after making sure all the Air Lebanon airliners parked for the night had no maintenance men inside them, like a dozen planes, and they boarded them and blew them up. The message was clear. Listen, state of Lebanon, you allow these criminals living in your country to plot and launch their attacks against our civilian aviation, your civil aviation will suffer too. And what do you know? The U.S. State Department expressed, quote, strong disapproval, and went into the U.N. Security Council. It assailed Israel, according to one report. All of the members around that table did. And they drafted a resolution condemning Israel, U.N. Resolution 262, at the end of December 1968, with no mention of the PFLP's terrorist attack and murder. Of course, the New York Times editorialist also condemned Israel, and the Pope sent a telegram of support to the president of Lebanon over the loss of the equipment to the national airline. A Jew had been murdered. Two Jewish crewmen had been wounded by Arabs bellowing, "Kill the Jews." Israel destroyed only inert property, with none of these critics mentioning the PFLP attack. This same behavior afflicts us today. Those Spanish crusaders of BDS have in their minds only Israel attacking Gaza, like a colorblind person who cannot see certain colors. Murderous aggression against the Jews does not register. Absent from the minds of these Spanish BDS cultists were what was going on in 2014 out of Gaza and a dozen years of rocket attacks targeting ordinary Jews in their apartments and parks and schools, synagogues. This blindness to the provocations is fascinating. Thank you. Okay, that's it for this Tuesday night, and I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.